Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. Yesterday was the start of a new month, February, the month of love, and so we're doing a series this month looking at particular passages in the New Testament that talk about the love of God or various aspects of the love of God. Yesterday we started with Matthew 3:16-17. This is Jesus's baptism by John the Baptist, and as he comes up out of the water, the heavens open up and this voice from the sky says this: "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." So the first verse that we see in the New Testament that contains the word love is God's love for Jesus Christ himself. I think that's a beautiful picture and really sets the stage, sets the table for what's up ahead as far as you and I are concerned. This love that God the Father has for Jesus Christ the Son is the same love that we can experience through faith in Jesus Christ. But as we move forward, we're going to take a little turn kind of in our path on love. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus had an encounter with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees. They were always trying to trip Jesus up. They were trying to trap him in some way so that they could condemn him, judge him, and get him out of the way. I mean, he was a burr under their saddle. I mean, and they just couldn't get rid of him. And so they were always trying to trick him. And so in one of these particular conversations, an expert in the law, one of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Can you imagine testing Jesus? Can you imagine thinking you could outwit him?
Not more than once.
That you could really catch him as he misspoke something. But that's what they thought. So they tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And as you sit here and listen, if I heard that question, I would immediately go through the Ten Commandments. Well, Jesus didn't do that. He came up with another answer, and Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." What's the greatest commandment according to Jesus Christ? For us to love the Lord your God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our mind. So let's stop right there and ask a question. How well are you doing? Are you living up to that commandment? I mean, every minute of every day, are you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Is every thought that you have directed toward Jesus, inclined toward him? Is every decision you make compelled by the love of God or moved by a heart that loves the Lord your God? How about your soul? All of these things are what God is requiring of us as far as total commitment to him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. How well are you doing? Boy, I think we missed the mark completely.
Oh, yeah.
If it's just left up to us to live out that commandment, we're doomed. We've missed the mark. And that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark of the love of God. Well, what was Jesus driving at? Well, he was trying to drive those Pharisees, those Sadducees, and us who read these words, that for this to become a reality, something else has to take place. We have to first be connected to the source of love, and Jesus Christ is that source of love. Without that connection, there is no hope for us in regards to carrying out this greatest of all commands. And then Jesus goes on and he says this, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If you want to fulfill the law, if you want to live up to the righteous requirements of the law, love is the answer. Jesus walked in love. He fulfilled the law. He loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind. But that's something that he did. And because he did, he could sacrifice himself, and God the Father would be satisfied with that. And as a result, we can, by faith, experience new life in Christ. Something can happen inside of us so that we can express love to God and love to others.
It's fascinating to me that he couches the entire Mosaic Covenant in these terms. And you notice what's missing here is with all your spirit. This is, you know, the whole Mosaic Covenant was a covenant of dealing with your soul, your mind, emotions, and will through your brain. And even as beautiful as it was, when Jesus says this, oh, by the way, your entire being, who you are, needs to be wrapped up in love for the Father, we couldn't do it because we were dead spiritually. And that is such a wonderful contrast. You just painted it. Jesus was born spiritually alive. I was not. And he still walked by faith in his Father, and now I can. And what a promise.
What a promise indeed. So how well are you doing? Did you pass the love test? If not, you're not the only one. Yeah. We've all failed it. Uh-huh. But there's still hope because Jesus stood in our place. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised to life so that we could have life everlasting.
Yeah.
That's good news.
It is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome your call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're talking about the love of God today and this entire month, and we would love for you to weigh in on that as well. What is one of your favorite passages that talk about the love of God? If you have one, we would love to hear about it. Go ahead and call 844-322-2742. We're going to start today, Richard, in Brooklyn, New York, with Eugene listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, grace and peace, my fellow brothers, co-workers in Christ. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Yeah, doing Thank great. You. How are you doing?
I'm good. Very good. I just want to just say that everything you said was so true about love, because if we look at the Old Testament in Exodus with Moses, they followed Moses, but they lacked that love of God. So they were doing ritualistic things, but they lacked the love. So I just want to fast forward to the New Testament with Peter, when Jesus came back and rose again and appeared to them, and Jesus asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, all three times. But the last time, Peter was a little hurt by it. And he said, Jesus, you know I love you, because Jesus does know all things. And that's just, that I take that today, like, God knows who truly loves him. He already knows it. That's why we are the elect, because we already love God. And so I'm just saying that God already knows. When you truly love him, he knows it. And that's why I believe Peter said to Jesus, You know that I love you. And I think we can take a lot from that. And that's the most important thing, because if they did love God like this in the Old Testament, I think things would have been different, you know?
Well, Eugene, they would have, but it really gets down to this new birth, what Richard was talking about, the fact that we were spiritually dead. There was no connection to the source of love. And that's why all throughout the Old Testament you see the description of the people in these terms, that their hearts were always inclined toward evil. Yeah. That's all they could think about. Why? Because their hearts were still spiritually dead. And that's why the Bible talks about the importance of new birth. Without new birth, there's no way to enter into the kingdom, and there's no way to genuinely love God or to genuinely love others. Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 2, "In him you also were circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead." So in this new birth, God does something to our hearts, that he equips our hearts to receive the love of God and then to give that love back to God through faith. That's what new birth is all about. That's why it's important to know that this gospel message is all about being made alive in Jesus Christ. And when we're fully alive, we can actually love the Lord. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen. Yes, it is. And it's the same thing like Jesus was telling the Nicodemus. So now you elaborated so much on it. I understand it. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Eugene. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. And that certainly frees up a line at 1-844-322-2742, 844-32-BASIC. If you have a favorite passage on love in the New Testament, we would love for you to weigh in on today's broadcast. Again, the number to call is 844-32-BASIC. I want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported outreach. We rely on the contributions of our listeners from cities all around the country to help make this outreach possible.
Yes.
And I think it's important for our listeners to stand with us. And this month, we have a wonderful resource that we are offering as our way of saying thank you for your support. It is a 3-CD series entitled Hear It, Believe It, Live It. And in this series, I basically lay out the picture of what this gospel message looks like as it's lived out in us, how we hear it, learn to hear it for what it really is, how this gospel message fully persuades our mind to the point we're convinced that it's true, and then gives us handles on how to practically live it out in our relationships, in our work life, in our churches that we attend. This gospel message isn't just a theory for us to articulate. It's a life to be lived. And that's what this series is all about. And we would love to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel. Just go online to basicgospel.net, click the support link, make your contribution. And when you do, request your copy of Hear It, Believe It, Live It. We'll send it to you as quickly as we can. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call. We would love to hear from you. Let's go to Don listening to us in New York on WMCA. Hi, Don.
Hey, you guys. God bless. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. It's actually Lind. But so the Lord bless you, Richard, and I don't know if I heard Bob in the background, Davis.
He is not actually in studio today, but his voice was at the front of the broadcast. Couldn't go without that.
Actually, I haven't listened to you guys in about maybe a month now, and so I think, ooh, maybe Bob's gone. Okay. Anyway, the Lord bless the two of you on the air today. I really appreciate thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get through. And I really appreciate you guys big time, really big time. So here's my verse. I mean, as far as love is concerned, I tell you what, and you can't get any deeper than, in my opinion, 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm thinking about the verse, you know, in the Amplified verse. In the Amplified version, it says, if you have not love, you're bankrupt. And in several, actually, other, it's interesting when you do a study on 1 Corinthians and you go to, you know, a good handful of versions, you know, and how it says it in different versions. One version actually says, you're a useless nobody. I mean, really, we can know everything about everything, but if we have not love, I mean, really, where are we going? Really, where are we going? So anyway, praise God. With that being said, I have a question for the two of you. Something I guess I should actually know by now. I have to be a Christian as long as I have been. But actually, I have two questions. Just curious what your thoughts are, Bob and Richard, about it, when we get caught up, when, you know, the Lord does come to take us back and we're raptured. In your opinion, do you think that there will be freedom and opportunity for people to be saved out, you know, after the tribulation? I mean, I'm not asking, you know, I know we don't want to speculate, but I'm just wondering what your thoughts are, you know, after he comes, will there be a chance for people that, you know, after the tribulation, for them to be saved?
It's a good question, Don. And the book of Revelation speaks of a final judgment, a dividing between the sheep and the goats. And I think once that final judgment has come and gone, that really sets the table for our eternal destiny. I don't know that there's any second chance, you know, after that. So while we're here on earth, Don, this gospel message is coming at us. You know, I don't know of very many places on this planet that the gospel hasn't reached. I know there are some people groups that have still never heard. There's some languages that the Bible has not been translated into. But when you look at the overall globe and every place that's there, the gospel has been there. We know something about Jesus. We know something about his death, his burial, his resurrection. And so opportunity has been presented. There's been numerous times where we've sensed something deep within, saying there is a God and there is truth, and take a step in that direction. And so we have all these opportunities, and then the Bible says once death comes, then comes judgment. So if we die without receiving Christ, then we're going to experience the second death, and that's at the final judgment, which the book of Revelation is all about. We've rejected Christ all throughout our days, and that's not going to change. And so we just remain dead. Those of us that have received life, we're going to be with him forever.
Bob, you know why I asked that question? I'm just thinking about, you know, where it talks about those that, you know, that believe in him were beheaded. I mean, some of the scripture, you know, leaves me at the moment, but no, actually, the truth is you've made it very clear. The Bible makes it very clear. But, I mean, you know, the Bible does talk about, you know, a mark that, you know, there's going to be offered. You know, we know what that is. You know, it equals 666 and all that. I don't know, you know, personally, I believe we're blessed beyond measure in this country that, you know, that we have been persecuted as Christians, but nothing at all like in so many other countries. I mean, we're blessed. I mean, but who knows in the near future, who knows, maybe the far future, we're going to start, you know, I believe the church in America is going to be, you know, facing some very, very serious tribulation. I just think God has been so incredible. I mean, I cannot believe at times, I shouldn't put it, I can't believe, but I can't believe sometimes how patient he's been with this country and, I mean, the world.
Well, you know, even at the very end, during the last seven bowl judgments, the seven last plagues, in the fourth and fifth plagues, the way John describes it from this revelation he's receiving is that even though these plagues were coming, in two places, he says, they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. God is not looking to kill people, but these folks will not repent and glorify him. They will not accept the salvation he offers, and that's right up until just before this great battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes back and just destroys everything by the word of his mouth. And
Richard, thank you. With that being said, because I know we only got a couple minutes here left, with that being said, I got a particular thorn in my flesh as Paul talks about, that's really been plaguing me, or for lack of a better words. You know, Paul talks in Romans 7 about that which I want to do, I don't, and that which I don't want to do, I do it anyway. You know, I just honestly, at times, I mean, I know you wrote the book, you know, Our Guaranteed Future. Honestly, this particular thorn in my flesh is, I love God with all my heart, you know, but none of us are perfect, and I don't want to justify anything. That's the point. But, I mean, how does God look at me with this particular thorn? I mean, the Bible says, you know, to turn from all known sin, you know, I guess we only have a few minutes here. So,
well, Don, that's an excellent question, and it really brings us back to topic, full circle to the love of Christ Jesus.
I don't want to be a carnal Christian, you know, but anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, when you're born again, it's a spiritual transaction. You're born again of the Spirit of God. Your spirit has been made alive. So you become this new creation, but you're housed in a body of flesh. Within that flesh is sin. Sin resides in that flesh of yours. And so the temptations of this world, they appeal to that flesh. And sin living in your flesh has a strong tug on your heart. There's the source of the conflict. And so we give in sometimes. We submit ourselves to the temptations of the world. We submit ourselves to those sins that cross our path. Well, what does God think of us at that very moment? Well, God loves us. That's what he thinks about us. And he said that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Well, Lord, you mean that sin doesn't separate me from your love? No, it doesn't. That's how strong my love is for you. That's how deep my love is for you. That's how high my love is for you. It cannot. That sin cannot,
can I ask you a quick
and
question?
It will not.
I'm
yes,
sorry to interrupt
please.
You. Let me just ask you a quick question before we get cut short here. I'll see if I remember how to ask it, though. With the way you and Richard approach this subject, I mean, it's really blessed me over the last 2 years or so. But with that being said, do you think, I guess I want to ask it in a different way, but I'll just try to keep it simple. With that being said, though, don't you think, like I'm thinking in my life with this particular thorn in my flesh, that if I think that way, it's like I kind of get comfortable with the sin, you know? I get comfortable
no,
with the
guarantee
sin.
You will not.
You know what
I'm not, as you can tell. What causes you to maintain some kind of known sin is that you're focused on the sin. If you will take your eyes off of that sin and focus 100% on Jesus and let the Holy Spirit renew your mind, you will discover that things are starting to change. And so stop fighting the sin. Start walking by faith. It's the only way to get past this stuff.
Yeah, we all know the picture of what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And we've all experienced the conflict. So how do I break free? I can do so by trying harder, you know, redoubling my human effort. Well, that leads to more failure. Or I can put human effort aside and walk by faith in the resurrected Christ, the one who has the power over sin. And as we walk by faith in him, we see that power over sin manifesting in our life. We actually come to the point where we start saying no. Mm-hmm. Temptation crosses your path and you look at it and say no. Yeah. Why? Because you're walking by faith in Jesus Christ. You're resting in his love, his grace, his mercy.
Yeah, you're right. It's just not letting anything take your eyes off of Jesus. You're right.
That's exactly right. Well, Don, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate the conversation. Call us anytime, my friend.
God bless you, Richard. God bless you, Bob. Yes, God bless the two of you richly this week.
Well, thank you, and you as well. Well, it all gets back to the love of God, and that's what Jesus wanted us to know from the very beginning. If we're going to experience victory in life, if we're going to experience rest in life, if we're going to experience a new quality of life altogether, we have to be connected to the source. His name is Jesus. Faith is that point of connection. And if we're going to have that love flow through us, we need to learn to walk by faith.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us. For Richard, for the entire team, this is Bob Christopher saying so long, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.